Allahu Akbar, friends. I would have loved to have the podium on the same level as my friends here so that I can be closer to you. Also, I wish we had just a little bit more light so that I can see your faces. Is this possible? Not the full beaming light, but just something so that I can... Yes, fine. Yeah. I think they are not putting all the lights in order to help with the temperature. But I think that'll be fine, because when I see your faces, I can speak with all my heart. And this is all I plan to do tonight. I really have not prepared a speech. I have come in response to an invitation of your National Spiritual Assembly. I have come from the Holy Land, the heart of the planet, the spiritual heart, the administrative heart of our planet, for the Baha'is. And I bring you all the love of the World Center. As I talk to you tonight, to me you are a cross-section of the Canadian Baha'i community. You belong to a country whose rulers have been addressed in the Kitab-e-Aqdas by Baha'u'llah himself and called upon by him to bind the broken and to crush the oppressor. You belong to a country whose soil has been blessed by the footsteps of the beloved master. A community whose members are partners with the United States Baha'i community, partners in the reception of the tablets of the divine plan, co-heirs of those tablets, those immortal tablets. You belong to a community and a country about whom Abdu'l-Bahá wrote that he saw a bright future, a great future, a glorious, he says, future, both spiritually and materially for Canada. Your National Spiritual Assembly, I believe, was the first in the entire Baha'i world whose constitution was accepted by the parliament of the country. Your community has, moreover, produced distinguished hands of the cause and great servants of this wonderful faith. And a martyr. Who, although she did not shed her blood, but was ranked as a martyr by the beloved guardian. A community that can pride itself in having produced for the beloved guardian his consort, his one and beloved consort. But he called his shield and protector. Your community has further produced the celebrated and illustrious architect for the superstructure of the Shrine of the Bab. And the architect for the Mother Temple of the West. Your community, through your National Spiritual Assembly, has been responsible in being not only among the first, but I can say with confidence, the first National Spiritual Assembly in the entire Baha'i world, who during this period of persecution in Iran succeeded in forging such close and cordial ties with the authorities in this country that enabled many of the persecuted and downtrodden Baha'is of Iran to find refuge in this country. Furthermore, I don't know of any other national community in the world that can pride itself in having three international agencies serving the entire Baha'i world. One for the Baha'i studies, the other for health projects, the health agency that has been established here, and the third for development projects. Although they are at the beginning of their operation, but they definitely hold great promise for the future. These are the distinctions of your community. And from the vantage point, if you like, in Haifa, those of us who are privileged to be there and serve there, we see these wonderful things in this country and in this community. We should all be grateful to Baha'u'llah that he has bestowed such blessings upon you all. May we all be deserving of these precious and wonderful blessings. The question that I have been asked so many times during this trip, and of course the pilgrims ask the same question. The question is, how long will the sufferings of Iran have to continue? You know, there is a prayer written by the beloved guardian over 50 years ago that I know that my Persian friends here, most of them would probably know it by heart. Rabbana wa malazana azil kurubana. In this prayer, Shoghi Effendi asks two questions. One is there any refuge, any haven for us save thee? Addressing Baha'u'llah. And the second question is, how long will this injustice, will this oppression continue? How long shall we endure this tyranny? To the first question he gives his answer in the prayer itself. He immediately says, "Nay, nay, we have no refuge save thee." To the second question he gives no answer. This is locked up in the knowledge of God's knowledge, divine mysteries. We cannot know. All we know is that we have to be forbearing, we have to be patient, we have to be confident that He is watching over us. He is watching over the Persian Baha'i community. He knows, He sees, He has given us the promise, the guarantee of the victory of His faith in His native land. We have to be patient. The trouble is that our patience is just a little bit less than His. In another letter, written about, in a letter from Shoghi Effendi, written about the same time as that prayer I referred to, he gives us an indication of how things will be with the Persian friends. He says that, I am using my own words, not quoting. He says that the darker the horizon, the fiercer the onslaught. The more the friends are encircled from all six sides, from every direction, the sooner will that day come. And therefore he calls on the Persian friends not to be perturbed, to stand firm, to trust in him, so that these final stages may also pass by and the promised triumph may appear on the horizon. But when you think, when we think of what has happened in Iran during the past 4 years, you will immediately agree that the Baha'is in Iran, the community in Iran, has been purified, has been unified. Has truly made great advances in spirituality, in detachment, in dedication. This is the condition of the friends in Iran today. I believe that every one of them, should the test come, should that hour of test come to them, I believe they will stand firm with their lives in their hands, hopeful that they too would win that crown of martyrdom in his love. as to the Baha'is outside Iran, you know better than anybody else what has been achieved through the blood of the martyrs, through the sufferings, the sighs of the oppressed. In one of his tablets, Baha'u'llah says that from every drop of blood shed in his path, God will raise up thousands of souls, countless souls, to support his faith. I was in South Carolina, and there was a Baha'i who had just come from Honduras. And she said that during the last 2 weeks, they have had 5,200 new Baha'is in Honduras alone. And she was a witness. Shoghi Effendi, in his writings, wanted that the national assemblies of the world would forge such close ties with the media that the faith would be proclaimed everywhere, far and wide. This has been achieved, friends, thanks to the sufferings of the friends in Iran. He wanted the faith to be explained in favorable terms to those in authority in the free world. Thanks to the blood of the martyrs, the doors were opened, and representatives of national assemblies have been able to effectively present the faith with emphasis on the right teachings, the true aims and purposes of the faith, to government officials everywhere, in the free world, also in the third world. He wanted, Shoghi Effendi also wanted, the faith to be given and explained to the intellectuals, the leaders of thought, what he called the erudite. This too was achieved, maybe to a lesser extent, but great strides have been taken, and it is hoped that greater and more glorious steps will be taken in the future. So you see, we have reaped a very rich harvest outside Iran. But as the faith is becoming more known and better known in various quarters of the world, if you read the writings carefully, you will see that there is bound to be more opposition on a wider scale everywhere in the world. That the opposition will not be confined to Shia Islam in Iran. It will spread to other denominations within Islam. And then, as Abdu'l-Bahá has clearly stated, throughout America, he says, Europe, Africa, he refers to the strongholds of